get some information that's on the tables. I'm not good at that. Just look at the information. Praise God. Can you guys turn your Bibles with me, if you have your Bibles, to Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. This is not the message, but this is the occasion for to receive this message. As I meditate and pray and seek God for what He wanted me to say, Tracy gave me my but you always want to seek the face of God and see what He's really saying to the people that you're ministering to. And He gave me this scripture, Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, and He said, Ecom, this is who this message is for, and them alone. Again, it's a familiar scripture. I like using familiar scriptures. Matthew chapter 5, verse 6. It says, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are those, let me say it another way, empowered to prosper are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Only those that were hungry and thirsty made it out to this conference today. And the Lord wanted me to tell you before we even get started that today and yesterday you shall be filled. We're going to talk about a word, one word, and you can go ahead and go to Proverbs chapter 9, verse 18. That's the scripture we're going to launch up from. But I always like to give us a clear definition, a clear path, so we can always get some understanding of where we're going. I'm going to talk about a word that we hear a lot. We hear it often, especially today's in Christianese language, vision. And a lot of times when we look at the word vision, I believe we take it, and it's nothing wrong with how we look at it, but we look at it from a natural perspective. Habakkuk 2:4 tells us, write the vision down and make it plain. So a lot of us write the vision, but the vision we write is for us. We begin to write a vision about a 5-year plan or a 6-year plan, and I'm not saying there's anything wrong with that, but we're going to take another look at the word vision, maybe from God's perspective. What is the vision He wants you to write down? What is it that He wants you to see, and where is it that He wants you to go? A couple of thoughts on the word vision before I dig into it. Did you guys get to Proverbs yet? Okay, we'll stay there. We're not moving no further from there. Vision. Vision always sees beyond the flesh. Vision always sees beyond the carnal realm. Vision is the most powerful force in the earth, Maslow said. Vision is the ability to see what is not there. Just some thoughts on vision so we understand where we're going. Vision is the ability to see what is not there. Vision is the ability to see the invisible in order to do the impossible. Say that one again. Vision is the ability to see the invisible in order to do the impossible. When you can see the invisible and believe it, it makes you capable of doing the impossible. I said this last night, and I was trying to get it. I didn't want to get ahead of myself. I'm going to say it again, though, because faith cometh by hearing. Vision is given to a person, but it is always fulfilled by a people or generation. One of the things God spoke to me, and this He spoke to me in my private time, He said, I want you to begin to speak generationally. Don't just speak to the people where they are, but know that I have an expected in for them. There's always something inside the belly stirring and waiting to come out. And there's something that needs to be birthed. And He said, you begin to speak to the people what's inside of them. Sometimes they can't see it. Sometimes it's invisible. But God's going to come give you a vision so you can see the invisible in order to do the impossible. What is vision? Vision is the key to the future. I'm going to give you some definitions. If you want to write them down, you have to. But we're going to dive into this, but I have to set the foundation of vision. I want us to understand what God is saying. What is vision? Vision is an internalized, clear picture of a preferred future. Vision is an internalized, clear picture of a preferred future. Vision is a conception that is inspired by God in the heart of a human. And I have to say this, male or female. Men can be pregnant too. Vision is a conception that is inspired by God in the heart of a human. Let's pause real quick. Job 32. You don't have to turn. I'll turn there. Job 32, verse 8. This is not a familiar scripture. It may be familiar to Rhema students, but it's not familiar to everyone. I want to pause and take another detour that's going to lead us back to where we're going and look at this word inspired for a moment. Vision, I just said, help me, Holy Ghost. Vision is a conception that is inspired by God in the heart of a human. Can someone turn to 2 Timothy 3:16? Just hold that, hold your finger. I need someone to read that for me. Vision is a conception that is inspired by God in the heart of a human. What does inspired really mean? Job 32 verse 8 reads like this. But there is a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Can someone read 2 Timothy 3:16? Whoever got it, just shout it out. I love that. All scripture, there's that word all again, all scripture is given by inspiration. And then Job 32 says, verse 8, there's a spirit in man, and the inspiration of the Almighty giveth them understanding. Well, the definition of vision is, one of the definitions is the conception that is inspired by God. So this word inspired kept coming up as I was meditating this, so I decided to see what it meant. And the word inspired in 2 Timothy 3:16 and Job means the same thing. It means God breathed. So in order for us to get real vision, we have to be inspired by God. In order for us to have real vision, we have to have God breathe upon us. And we know that when we were born again, what happened? The Spirit of God came in. And the Holy Ghost came inside of us and began to conceive something in you called a vision. He began to breathe upon us. And what he's doing right now is he's breathing upon us. Fresh life and fresh vision. The same thing he did in Genesis when he said, I breathed upon you the breath of life into your nostrils. What did he do? He inspired you to become something. He gave you a vision. God breathed upon each of us. And vision is inspired by the Holy Ghost. Another definition of vision. Vision is a visual reality of your purpose for existence. Everything in life was created for a purpose. When you find your purpose, you'll see your vision. Jesus said, 1 John chapter 3, verse 8, I believe says, for this purpose was the Son of God made manifested. As soon as Jesus discovered his purpose, he knew his vision. He knew his point of attack. He knew exactly where he was going. Because he said, I have a purpose, and my purpose was to destroy the works of the enemy. Vision comes from the word optical. It means to look, or coming into a view, or single sight. It means the power of sight. Are you guys still in Proverbs 29? I'm sorry, I keep y'all going all over the place. It's all in the Bible. Proverbs 29, verse 18. I had to lay the foundation of what vision really is, put some thoughts, because I want us to think when we look at the word. And I'll go over those definitions as many times as you need me to. Because in all thy getting, get an understanding. Vision comes from the word optical. It means to look or coming into view or single sight. So, Proverbs 29:18 says this. Familiar text. Where there is no vision, the people perish. That's what God spoke to me when I was in Africa. And he said, I'm sending you to give them a vision. So, for a whole year and a half, I'm seeking, God, what is the vision you want me to show them? What is it that they need to see? What is the clear picture that they can't see? What is the invisible that stops them from doing the impossible? What is this, Lord? And he said, I'm glad you asked. Where there is no vision, the people perish. Another translation reads like this. Where there is no prophetic vision, the people cast off restraint. Hallelujah. The Good News Bible reads it like this. A nation without God's guidance is a nation without order. God's word reads like this. Without prophetic vision, people run wild. So I looked at the word vision now. And the word vision in the Greek and the Hebrew reads like this. Without prophetic revelation, the people run wild. The word vision in Proverbs 29:18 literally means revelation. So you can substitute that and you read it this way. Without prophetic revelation, the church is out of order. The church has no vision. They don't understand the revelation. Revelation simply means, I used to thought it meant divine insight, which is cool, I like saying that. But when I actually looked up the literal word, it meant to unveil what is already there. To show you what's on the inside of you. To show you who you really are. To show you that God, the Holy Ghost, lives on the inside of you, and He has breathed the breath of life inside of you, and there's something inside of you that has to be unveiled that's already there. But that only comes when you receive prophetic revelation. What is prophetic? I know I'm using words that we hear a lot of times, but we have to understand what they really mean to go forward. Prophetic means foretelling the future or unfolding future events. Let's substitute. Without the unfolding of future events, there's no revelation. Without the unfolding of future events, there's no unveiling of what's already there. There's something God has placed in every single believer. There's something God has placed in every single Christian that's already there. But we need someone sometimes to come and unveil that thing. We need someone to come and tell us what God showed you. We need someone to come and show us what Go Ye's doing so I can get stirred up, so I can go ye. We need someone to set a precedent, someone to set a fire, set a blaze, that I can follow that fire and follow that blaze and follow that God breathed inspiration inside of me and understand that the same God that told you to go, the same God that's in you is the same God that's in me. So if the God's in me that's in you, then I can do what you can do and I can do what Christ did, therefore I have a vision too. Prophetic revelation is missing in the church. I was getting mad with you, could use my scripture again. So we're not going to turn to it. But I know as we all being spoken to by the Holy Ghost. He says, for I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord. The thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. There's an expectation God has for every single one of us. There's a prophetic revelation that's been decreed to the church. And he said, don't just decree it to these people. Decree it to what's inside of them. Decree it to the invisible so they can do the impossible. Give them a clear picture of what I'm saying. Show them the vision. Show them what I've decreed so they can walk in this. Well, who got who else? I'm not the only one that hears this. You hear this. But let's look at the Bible and see who really got what God was saying. Who really got what God was saying? I believe Paul was a person who got this prophetic revelation. Go to Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4. Paul got this prophet. Every person in the Bible didn't get the revelation. They didn't really understand what God was saying. They had a piece of the part. We know that prophecy comes in part. But Paul got the whole thing. Paul got the whole thing. Galatians chapter 4 verse 19. What is it that God wants us to see? What is this internalized clear picture of a perfect future? What is this conception? What is this birthing? What is this stirring that's inspired by God in my heart? God, there's something in my heart. I'm thirsting for more. I'm tired of going to church on Sundays. I'm tired of going to church on Tuesdays. I'm thirsting and hungering for more. I want to be fulfilled. I want to do what you're calling me to do. There's more to the kingdom than just going to church and getting big. There's more to the kingdom than going to Denny's. There's more to the kingdom than this. Show me, Father. Reveal to me who I am. Prophetic revelation. Galatians chapter 4, verse 19. What is it, Paul, that saw that many of us aren't seeing? Oh, Paul. Paul spent 14 years in the desert. Paul was with God often. And this is what he came up with. My little children, of whom I travail in birth, again until Christ be formed in you. Colossians chapter 1, verse 27. You don't have to turn to it. To whom God will make known what is the riches of the glory of the mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. The whole thing was about Christ in you. The whole thing that Adam fell, that Christ may come back and redeem us to put us back in the position that Adam was in. We have the position that Christ is in you, that Jesus Christ, the same God that was raised from the dead, the same Holy Ghost in Romans chapter 11 that was in you, so quicken your mind. God, Jesus Christ, is in you. But he needs to be revealed, not only just to you, but to the whole world. The whole world is they're sick of looking at us. They want to see this Jesus we're talking about. They want to see this Christ. I read the Bible and I hear these Jesus stories, but I don't see that working in you. Come on now. Prophetic revelation. Who else got this revelation? Go read the book of Revelation chapter 1. And I'm saying some things about Paul. Paul spent 14 years. He said, I didn't get this revelation from a man. I didn't confer with flesh and blood. I immediately went after the Father. Paul would say things like, I want to know him. And the power of his resurrection. Paul, you wrote 2/3 of the Bible. What are you still saying you want to know him? Paul said, I count everything I've learned up to this point but dung. Paul said that my earnest desire is to apprehend for that which I'm apprehended. Is that the same desire that we have? Are we searching hard after God day after day, 14 years in the desert, that I'm going to separate myself and be under him? I did it 2 years. In the desert of Broken Arrow. Hallelujah. But Paul separated himself from men to find out what this prophetic revelation was. The book of Revelations. Now we know this book was written by the Apostle John. And this is what he came up with. Now, before we read this, let's look at what John did. John was counted as the beloved disciple. They would say things like he was the one that had his head on the heartbeat of Jesus. Ba-boom. Ba-boom. He would hear the heart of Jesus. He was that close to him that he was now in Jesus' bosom. And this is the revelation that he got. From only being in Jesus' bosom. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must surely come to pass. Remember we said prophetic is the unfailing, the foretelling of the future. Things that must shortly come to pass. That he sent is signified by his angels unto his servant John. John got the revelation that God was speaking to us before the foundation of the world. The revelation of Jesus Christ. This is the revelation. This is the prophetic insight. This is the divine unveiling. This is what's inside of every believer. Jesus Christ. And this is the prophetic revelation that we must have. So now that we understand that we must become like Christ, we must walk in Christ's likeness and understand this is the revelation. Let's look at Matthew chapter 17. We're still talking about vision. We're still talking about a clear internalized picture of something that's inside of you. I don't want you to listen to me. I don't want you to listen to my voice today. I want you to hear this. Matthew chapter 17 verse 5. Hallelujah. Vision. While he yet spake, behold, a bright cloud overshadowed them. And behold, a voice of the cloud said, this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. I had to qualify that because I want you to hear Jesus now. I'm going to go look at some scriptures that Jesus said. And this is what Jesus said about you and I. This is what Jesus said about us. And I'm going to move slow here because this is what Jesus said about us. No one else can see. You can't deny the scripture. If you believe that this is the holy, written, infallible word of God, when I show you the scriptures today, you have to lift up your faith. You got to change your mind about who you are because this is what Jesus said. It's going to be in red in most of your Bibles. It's not what Ekim said. It's what Jesus said. And when we understand what Jesus said, we got to go to another level. St. John chapter 17. This is what Jesus said. I wonder if we believe that we get our prayers answered. This is a prayer by Christ. How many believe that this prayer was answered? Just some thoughts. Think. We're going to think. St. John chapter 17. This is, if y'all want to shout, you can shout now. We're about to shout now. Because this is what Jesus said. We know the familiar text again, but we know he prays. He prays and he says that we may be one as you are one. Father, this, this, and that. Hallelujah. St. John chapter 17, let's start at verse 17. Oh, Father. You're so wonderful. Sanctify them through thy word. Thy word is truth. Listen to the scripture. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so I also send them into the world. Where are you being sent to? Into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also, remember he said speak generationally, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Verse 21. That they all may be one, as thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee. That they also may be one in us. That the world may believe that thou hast sent them. Verse 22 is what I want us to see. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Yes. Did y'all hear that? Yes. the glory. The glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one, even as we are one. Hallelujah. Now, he says, even as we. I want to look at this word as for a minute. Preposition, English class. As there means in the same way or the same amount or degree. In such a way or to such an extent or the way that resembles the way he was talking about. So when we say as Christ, listen to me, when we say as Christ, we can say it this way. Hallelujah. The same way in which Christ is. To the same amount or degree that Christ is. In the same way or to such an extent that Christ is. Or in the same way that resembles Christ. He says to his Father, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them. Okay, you're not getting excited like I'm getting excited. So maybe I need to tell you what glory means. Okay? Glory. I just want to read that maybe three more times. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one as we were. And the glory of God, which thou gavest me. Who did he give it to? He gave it to Christ. And Christ said, I'm giving it to you. The same glory. The same, y'all don't know what glory means. There we go, that's right, glory. What does glory mean? What does glory mean? I'm going to read, this is from the Message Bible. The Message Bible says this, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. The same glory you gave me, I gave them, so they'll be as unified together as we are. Okay. Oh my God. The word glory is what Jesus says we have. And the word glory means this. The nature. The nature and acts of God in self-manifestation. I might as well put the mic. In self-manifestation. The same manifestation that Christ was available to him is available to us. The same glory. The same glory. I can't. That's all I'm preaching. The same glory that Christ had is the same glory that we had. This is the prophetic revelation. This is the unfolding of the future. This is the teleos. This is the arrow, the direction, the vision that God wants us to see. He wants, what does he want revealed? What does he want unveiled? The same glory that was in Christ is in you. Not just the preacher. Not just the one behind the pulpit. The one sitting in the pews. The one working at the grocery store. The one going to work every day. The one working construction. The same glory that was in Christ Jesus, the one that died on the cross, the one that is bad enough to get up from the grave and take the keys from the devil, is the same glory that is in you and I. The same manifestation, which what essentially is, what Christ essentially is and does as exhibited in whatever he may reveal himself in these respects. The character of God. The character of God. The same character of God. The same word that was in the beginning. The same word that became flesh is the same word that's in you. If that word's in you, if it came flesh once, it become flesh again. The manifestation of Christ. Romans 18 says, the whole earth is travailing and waiting. Waiting for what? The manifestation of the sons of God. We're wondering why there's earthquakes. We're wondering why there's shark bites. Because the world is travailing, birth pains. They're waiting for the sons to manifest. And we should manifest once we get this prophetic revelation. Once we understand that the whole thing is a design that we may become like him. That we may be, 1 John chapter 3, beloved, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us. He bestowed the same glory. He said that you should be called the sons of God. Yet it doesn't matter, it doesn't appear what you shall be, but when he appears, the word appear means manifest. When he's manifested, then you shall be like him. But I'm about to smack myself. If I had some money, I'd give myself an offering. This is ridiculous. Listen to this definition of glory. The source from whom all divine splendor and perfection proceed in their manifestation. So let's substitute that. The same source from which all divine splendor and perfection proceed in their manifestation is in you. My God. of the character and ways of God as exhibited through Christ should be exhibited through believers. As my sister always says, and I'm going to say it again, the supernatural realm belongs to the believer. I'm from New Orleans, right? And in New Orleans, there's voodoo. And ooh, witchcraft, and ooh, this and that. You know, how many people realize that the Bible says in Galatians chapter 22 that witchcraft is a work of the flesh, not a spirit? This is the work of the flesh. Well, how do you deal with the flesh? Walk in the spirit. Easy. Witchcraft is dealt with. Done. That is not going to cost you. That's free. You don't have to worry about that. Witchcraft is dealt with. It's the work of the flesh. You deal with that by walking in the spirit. That's the Bible. So I'm in New Orleans, and people put so much confidence in the supernatural. But the other way, why? Because television, Fred and I was talking about this. Ooh, the boogeyman, ooh, the devil. When the Bible says that, I've given you all power. All again, there's that word all again. All power. Existing everywhere over the devil. As a matter of fact, the Bible says in Colossians that he made an open show of him. In Bible days, when they made an open show of the devil, they'd beat him up, smack him around, then drag him across town laughing at him. So you got to understand the devil's behind you and being dragged across town, made a spectacle of, defeated, armless. One part of the Bible says that he's been disarmed. He only had no arms to fight. Has anyone been in natural, been in a fight before? It's nice when people throwing hands, but if he ain't got no hands, where's the victory at? The same glory. The same glory. Listen to this. Glory is the manifestation of divine attributes. Glory is the manifestation. It's hard for me to get that out. The glory is the manifestation of the divine attributes and perfections. Be careful with the language. Perfections, God? The glory means this. Wonderful things can be done. Hallelujah. This is the prophetic revelation. This is the word that the generation needs to hear. They need to hear the whole counsel of God. Don't get me wrong, but they need to know who they are in Christ. They need to understand that Satan's defeated. They need to understand that I'm the one in authority. They understand that my God is bigger than your God. They need to understand that there's no opposition to the kingdom besides us and our lack of knowledge. That's it. Let's go a little further. The true glory of man is the ideal condition of which God created man. This condition was lost in the fall and recovered through Christ. Glory embraces all which is excellent in the divine nature. Hallelujah. I love this one. He says, we should begin to worship. I don't know if we can worship on this one, but he says, glory means an exalted state of blissful perfection. I don't know what blissful means, but I like it. Blissful perfection. That I'm walking around, I think it means happy. Now I'm just walking around happy. Why? Because the same glory. The same glory that was in Christ is in us. I can't get off that. The same glory. I got a revelation, Tracy. I was meditating this. My wife was telling me to be quiet because I got all loud. But the Holy Ghost said this. You know how they used to talk about Brother Hagin would see the glory cloud come in. And the glory cloud would build up. And it would get big when you couldn't see. And he said, you know what, Ekim? He said, when you walk around, the glory cloud comes with it. Because the same glory. It's the same glory. So we don't have to look for the cloud. I know who I am. I'm the glory. No, see, I don't like for people to talk like that. But I'm the glory. Because the Bible said, well, did we not read this in the Bible? The Bible said the same glory that was in you, I've given to them. So if I'm a born again believer, walking in the Spirit of God, then I'm the glory. Can we say that? Is it okay to say that? That's not blasphemy, right? Because the Bible says that. So I can walk into a place and understand that I'm the deliverer. We understand that it's in Christ. We know that. We don't want to get off. But I want you to know that when you walk into a room and someone needs deliverance, you can stand there bold and say, I'm the glory. I'm sent to deliver you. Assigned by Christ. Assigned by Christ. Well, I told you this message doesn't qualify for everybody. It doesn't qualify for everybody. It only qualifies for those who thirst and hunger after righteousness. But he said there's a signal, there's a sign that I want to give to you of the people so we don't miss it. What I'm saying is there's a generation that's coming. There's a generation that's coming, y'all. And they come into the church, they're not going to look like me. They're going to have jeans on and hoodies to the back. And they're going to come to the church and all they know is they're the same glory. All they know is they've been born again. All they know is this Christ showed up to me and got me saved. There was a lady by Patricia Bailey. You guys ever heard of Patricia Bailey? She said she was in a third world country and she was just preaching the gospel, and a lady came out. She thought it was a witch doctor, throwing chicken seed all around. And then the chickens began to come, and it freaked her out, because the lady was using chicken language. And then this big hen came out. She chopped the hen's head off and gave it to her. And the native said, "Don't be worried. She was giving you an offering." And she said, "Why would you give me an offering? I don't even know you." And she said, "The Lord came to me in a vision and got me born again and told me I was sending someone to minister to you." There's people that are coming to the church that are not going to be hearing things that we hear. They're going to come to the church and they're going to think Tupac was a prophet. They're going to come to church and think that Biggie Smalls was the man. They're not going to speak the same language that we speak. We're talking about bishops, and they don't know what you're talking about. All they know is the glory cloud showed up. All they know is that I'm born again and I'm delivered. I don't know nothing about your Christianese. So we're going to have to look for them and see them for who they are. Who are these people that are coming for the same glory? Who is this prophetic generation? Who is the people that are coming to take us to the future? Who is the next presidents? Who is the next leaders? Who is the next company builders? These people. Isaiah chapter 7. I want you to see him. This is a solid message, y'all. I'm telling you. You might want to put it on the shelf for a little while. Look at it again later. But there's a generation that's coming that has vision, that can see the future, that can see the impossible. That want to see the invisible. They're not coming to church. They come into the kingdom. Isaiah chapter 7. Verse 14. This is the sign. I believe Jesus was more than he came just to do more than just to get us born again. He came to do more just to get us to go to heaven. I believe Jesus was a pattern son. I believe Jesus was the son after God's own heart, but he was the captain of salvation to bring many sons to glory. There's more than one. God wanted a family, so he planted a seed. And he always produces after his own kind. The seed of the word was planted in you, then that seed's reproducing after his own kind. The law of Genesis. Every seed reproduces after his own kind. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And the Lord himself shall give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. Luke chapter 1. These are the signs for you to see ministers and leaders of the gospel, because a lot of times the people that come hungry and thirsty after the Father get rejected because they don't look the same, or they don't talk the same, or because they don't think like us. All they know is they're hungry for God, and a lot of times we get rejected. I know, because I was one of them. And that's why I'm sharing this with you from my heart. I had a vision, I had something that was inside of me birthing to go, but because I talked differently, because I walked differently, because I wanted to pray, come on now, because I wanted to spend time praying and going to the movies, I was cast out the church. Did y'all hear that? This happened to me and my family. Because we'd say, "Hey, let's go to the church and pray all night." And people said, "They don't take all that." So we can't hang with you because it don't take all that. It's okay. I'm good. I went to Raymond. I'm good. Luke chapter 1. Behold a virgin. Why a virgin? Holy Ghost, you are so good to me. I'm good. I just sweat. It's all good. Luke chapter 1. Verse. Familiar text. We don't have to read it all. And then starting in verse 34. Then said Mary unto the angel, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man? A virgin shall bear a child." Then Mary said unto him, "How shall this be, seeing I know not a man?" See, this generation that's coming, I have to break this down, are not going to know any man. All they're going to know is Jesus. Man always wants a part in this thing. They always want to put their hands in you and say, "I'm the one that ordained you. I'm the one that licensed you," when that's foolishness. Because he said to Jeremiah, "Before thou was formed in the mother's womb, I knew you. I had been intimate with you and got you pregnant with a vision. I ordained you a prophet before they said, you're a prophet." A lot of us have been ordained and called to go forth, but no man can take part in this generation that's coming. This generation that's coming is going to be birthed the same way Christ was birthed. And the angel answered and said unto her, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon you," or "the Holy Ghost shall inspire you." So the Holy Ghost shall conceive something in you. Hallelujah. "And the power of the highest shall overshadow thee. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. The same glory that's in us is going to be called the Son of God. The same, this generation that's coming that I'm talking about, it is going to be birthed by the Holy Ghost. That's one of the things they told Brother Hagin before he passed on. God told him is to make sure this generation does not lose the move of the Holy Ghost. To make sure they know how to flow with the Holy Ghost. Why? Because he's the only one that can inspire us. He's the only one that can, he's the only one that knows you. He's the only one, he created you. He's the only one that knows what gets you up in the morning. The Holy Ghost must be our inspiration. And what he's doing in this generation now, he's doing it right now as I speak. Some of you right now are remembering the vision that you had when you was a child. Some of you right now are remembering, my God, there's something inside of me that's calling me to go to the next level. There's something that we talked about 2 years ago that was a thought that became, that's what Logos really means. In the beginning was a thought or imagination. And that imagination became flesh. That's all it is. In the beginning, we were thinking about something, but God is saying the Holy Ghost is about to come upon you. And that thing in you is called the Son of God. And what does that mean? It means it's been birthed by God only. And no man can have a part in it. This is generation that's coming. So when you see him come to the church in blue jeans and a white t-shirt, when you see him walking like that coming to church, embrace them. Love them. Because that thing in them is being birthed by the Holy Ghost. The next sign to notice the generation is this. Not to go too far, Luke chapter 36, chapter 1, verse 36. I'm going to go ahead and read. I'll hook this thing up for you. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she has also conceived a son in her old age, in the 6th month when she was called barren. Verse 37. For with God, nothing is impossible. What is the second sign? The second sign is, you are not going to be able to hook up with regular people. You're going to have to find you an Elizabeth. You're going to have to find you someone who's been pregnant just like you, someone who was barren just like you, someone who was outcast just like you, and you're going to understand that Elizabeth, when she meets Elizabeth, her spirit jumps. Oh, my God. You pregnant, girl, by the Holy Ghost. The same daddy. The same daddy. You're going to have to separate yourself from normal folks. And I'm not trying to be negative, but a lot of times the church is full of foolishness. And when you meet people like Tracy, I mean, you know, I'm using Tracy as an example, Lord, forgive me, but I'm using, a lot of people can't handle Tracy. She coming to you full of the Holy Ghost, full of the fire of God, raw with the fire, raw all on top of you. Some people say, it doesn't take all that. It don't take all that. But yet, I'm in New Orleans crying out, Lord, there's got to be more than this. Where is Anthony? I need to meet a brother like Anthony. I need to meet a brother like the blessed Spiros. I need to meet these people that want to go to the world. Where are they? He said, Ekim, there's an Elizabeth and Ramah. Get there. And when you get there and you walk in the room and say, Lord, I feel like praying. They say, shut it down. We all fasting for a week and we're going to stay in the house all week till we get the answer. What? And I'm thinking, it'll take all that. I just wanted to pray. But there was an Elizabeth there for me. And that's how we're going to know this generation. You're going to have to find your Elizabeth. Hallelujah. The third sign is this. Luke chapter 2. I'm closing. Luke chapter 2. Vision. We're still talking about vision. We're still talking about a clear internalized picture of a preferred future. What future does God prefer is the question, though. We always put it back to ourselves. We're still talking about a conception that is inspired by God in the heart of a human. We're still talking about a vision is a visualized reality of a purpose for existence. What is your purpose for existence? I'm not talking about what job you're supposed to get. What is the purpose God set us here for? Luke chapter 2, verse 7. God, I love you. And she brought forth her firstborn son, wrapped in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger. Because there was no room in the inn. Does it say no room in the inn? It doesn't say he was born in the manger because he was broke. Right? I want to kill that cow now. It doesn't say that Jesus was broke. It said because there was no room in the inn. Inn is short for institution. There was no room in the institution of men for him to be birthed. Where Jesus came into the earthly world, he could not be birthed in the institution of men. And this generation that's coming is not going to be able to be birthed by any man. Man's not going to have no part of that. What's in Go Ye, what's in Kindle the Flame Worldwide Ministries Incorporated, what's in Tony, what's in Sister Molly, what's in us was birthed by God. What's in you was birthed by God. I came as a mother to induce labor today. I came to help you understand this vision on the inside of you. I came to understand that the same glory that was in Christ is inside of you, and you could stand up bold as a lion and tell the enemy to shut his mouth. There's a chapter in Luke, and I want to share this with Tracy, because I believe this is for you. There's a chapter in Luke, and I might get it twisted, but it seems good to the Holy Ghost to tell you this. That the same way that the angel came to Zechariah and said, by this time next year, you'll have a child. And he said, how can this begin to doubt? And the angel had to shut his mouth. All the people that's talking, all the people that's saying, how can this be? God shutting their mouth. And they're not going to be able to speak again until they speak blessings. They're not going to be able to say nothing until they say, Tracy Arsenal, Fred Arsenal did it. They're not going to be, God is saying they're not going to be able to speak. They're going to be silenced because I'm shutting their mouths. They're not going to talk. They're not going to say nothing. Why? Because God wants them to be blessed too. And if they open their mouth again, they might die where they stand. That's how powerful this thing is. Tracy, God told me to tell you that you'll never lack another day in your life. You'll never ever lack for anything, because this thing he has to provide for. He is not a deadbeat father. If he birthed it, he got to pay for it. So stand up, young lady. Stand up, young man. And understand that it's a new level. It's a new day. And what I've birthed in you is vision. What I've birthed in you is a clear picture. Go forth and do what God told you. Their mouths are silent. It's shut. It's shut. They can't say nothing else. Because if they do, they'll curse themselves. If they touch this anointing, it might hurt them. I speak as a man of God to you today. Their mouths are shut. But when you reach your place, your heart is still pure. Because then God will open it so you can feed them. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.